Former President Bill Clinton is reopening many of the bruising political debates of the last decade as he promotes his best-selling book, My Life. The memoir is part confessional, part policy seminar, and part political payback. Mr. Clinton sat down for an interview in New York this week with NPR senior correspondent Juan Williams.
It's no surprise that the former president is bitter towards prosecutor Kenneth Starr. The independent counsel's investigation of Clinton's sexual relationship with Monica Lewinsky led to the president's impeachment. More surprising is Clinton's harsh take on former FBI Director Louis Freeh. Clinton appointed Freeh, but the president says that when the FBI chief ran into difficulty, Freeh turned on him.
Pure politics. Once he got in trouble with the Olympic bomber, where they lost some assets in a drug bust, they had the problems with the FBI lab, and the press was killing him, and the Republicans in Congress were killing him, and they blamed him. And I really do think he woke up one day and said, there's only one sure way I can get the Washington press and the Republicans off my back, and if I take a hostile position toward the White House. And he did, and sure enough, the next day it was gone. They never said a word about any of those problems again.
Would you have been able to fire Louis Freeh? Would you have been more involved if it hadn't been for things like Travelgate and Monica Lewinsky? Because if you fired him then, people would have said it might have been political retaliation.
Well, they certainly would have. But, you know, the Travelgate thing was a fraud. But long before the Lewinsky incident, Starr had the FBI looking into my private life. The Washington Post ran a big story on it about how many agents they had. I mean, it was unbelievable. They could have been doing something else that might arguably have had more to do with American security.
So you couldn't fire Freeh at that point?
As long as we were getting cooperation at the highest levels of the FBI on a day-to-day basis on the terrorism issues, I thought that it was more trouble than it was worth.
Louis Freeh, the former FBI director who's now in the credit card industry, declined to respond to the president's version of events. I then asked the president about the scandal that haunts his legacy. You said on 60 Minutes that you regarded the scandal with Monica Lewinsky and the subsequent impeachment and the trial all as, quote, a badge of honor.
That's not what I said.
What did you say?
I said that I was responsible for what I had done wrong, both as a person and a president throughout my whole life, and I took responsibility for it, but that the impeachment was illegitimate. Every reasonable historian, constitutional authority, lawyer, and prosecutor knew that it was illegitimate. So did Newt Gingrich, and he had already told Hillary they would never do it. Then he said they were going to do it because they could. And I specifically pointed out a column that Robert Healey, that had written in the Boston Globe about how Tip O'Neill could have impeached Ronald Reagan because it came out that he knew about and approved Iran-Contra, which was clearly illegal. And Tip O'Neill didn't do that because there's some things we Democrats don't do just because we can. And he didn't want to put the country through it. So the Republican position is, if we impeached him, even if our reasons were invalid, no matter how illegitimate it was, it's still a black mark on him. We did it, and might makes right. So what I try to do is to draw a distinction between my personal mistakes, which I very much regretted, and my willingness, indeed eagerness, to fight impeachment, which I am proud of. But I never said that I wore the mistakes I had made as a badge of honor.
One of the joys of your presidency was triangulation, your ability to bridge left and right in this country. But one of the legacies of your time in office is a highly polarized electorate. What can the Democrats do now? I mean, you know, after you left, the Democrats have lost the Senate, the House, the White House.
Let me say, first of all, we would have made major, major gains in 2002, but for 9/11. We had a 23-point advantage among undecided voters going into the 2002 elections. That's why Karl Rove made the 2002 election a referendum on the Homeland Security Bill, which was, I think, one of the greatest con jobs ever pulled off on the American people. Basically, he was against the bill for 8 months, and they decided they're for it. Then they put a couple of poison pills in it so it can't pass by Election Day. And 24 hours after they changed their position, if you hadn't changed yours, you know, you were threatening America's security. I mean, it was a total hot dog deal. But anyway, they wanted to polarize the electorate along ideological lines. One of the reasons that I was such a polarizing figure is I won, because they really thought they had discovered this little formula that would always beat Democrats. You know, we were weak on defense. We never met a tax we didn't like. We never met a program we didn't love. We, you know, couldn't be trusted to take care of the country, all that kind of stuff. So the more our approach worked, the madder they got, and the more they had to go after me personally.
How much of Al Gore's defeat in 2000 do you take responsibility for?
It's not the question I thought you were going to ask.
What'd you think I was going to ask you?
Whether I thought he would have won if I'd been out there campaigning for him. I think it's a real insult to the American people to say that I'm responsible for his defeat, because it assumes they're both stupid and unfair. On the day I left office, 65% of the American people said they thought I was doing a good job and the country was going in the right direction. For them to punish Al Gore would have been not only unfair, would have been self-defeating.
But he's the one that moved away from you during the campaign.
But there was a different issue there in the beginning. In the beginning, I agreed with this, by the way.
You said to him, Al, it's okay to leave me out?
Yeah. First of all, one night, as I say in this in the book, one night I told him, I said, look, Al, if I thought it'd help you, I'd go down to the steps of the Washington Post and let you lash me with a bullwhip. And he deadpanned, well, maybe we ought to poll that. And then I said, well, if we're going to poll it, let's poll it with my shirt on and off. And it was a hilarious, you know, interchange. But I went out of my way not to try to analyze the 2000 election except to say we won. We just didn't win by enough to stay out of the Supreme Court. And I do believe that Supreme Court decision is one of the five worst decisions the Supreme Court ever made. Whether he did the right thing or not, I think it's wrong for us to second guess it. He won. He got a lot of votes.
Clinton has been criticized for not doing enough to support John Kerry, the presumed Democratic presidential nominee. The former president's book tour has fueled that frustration by pushing Kerry out of the spotlight. But Clinton offered a hearty endorsement for Kerry, saying he believes the Massachusetts senator will be a good president. As he was leaving for another book signing, I asked Clinton if he had a favorite pick for Kerry's running mate.
I am adamantly without a choice on VP, but because for real good reasons. I think it's the only presidential decision he gets to make, and I just want him to pick somebody to be proud of. If he picks somebody he's proud of, he'll wake up every day in a good humor between then and the election. That's the most important thing. Yeah.
Former President Bill Clinton, his nationwide book tour continues through the summer, up to and beyond the Democratic Convention in Boston in late July. Juan Williams, NPR News, New York.
Bill Clinton delves into national security and partisan politics in an extended interview at npr.org.